tell me about this bike. This, it's not actually a bike. It's just a frame, basically. Frame and fork.
Yes. It's actually a prototype that was never supposed to have been made. It's a Colnago Master road bike that was made by Ernesto Colnago for us to take a look at the artwork and see if we are happy with the artwork before they began the production of the Look Mono Brake track bikes. There was a total of 76. This frame was never supposed to have been built. And when they built it, they wanted to present it to me, the Futura frame and also the Stash road frame, for us to be able to clear the production. And it was a nice thing, and I didn't really think about it until I started finding out more about Mr. McGruer and Stash, which Mr. McGruer, Leonard McGruer, is Futura 2000, which is a renowned graffiti artist that did Lance Armstrong's bike. He used to do the album covers for The Clash. Recently did an album cover for John Mayer, Waiting for the World to End or to Return. I don't know the name of the song, but I've heard it before. It's pretty cool, and Futura 2000 is in it.
Come on over here, if you will, Nadir, and just describe this for me. So we're standing in front of the display case. It looks like something you'd put around the Mona Lisa or something at the Louvre. But just describe what we're looking at here.
Okay, it's a 2007 Master Pugh road frame. It's a special tubing that Columbus did for this project, and it's an ISO registered frame. So this is basically a prototype to the whole production of the Lukma. The company that laid the artwork is the company that restored St. Peter's Cathedral, the 16th chapel. So Ernesto at the time was doing some projects with this company, and they had agreed to do a small production of frames. One of them was the Forever bike that he honored for his 50 years of marriage to his wife. And the bike was painted with all these butterflies, basically showing how his relationship between him and his wife had been over 50 years, very light and very beautiful. And then he asked the guys if they can finish their last project before they continued restoring some major cathedrals and churches in Italy, that if they can do this project. So I've been honored by having this bike, but it's a beautiful, beautiful bike, and I know this bike is going to be worth a lot of money in the next 20 years.
And the paintwork, I mean, certain bike companies are renowned for their paintwork and the design work. This is extraordinarily intricate. How would they have done this rainbow polka dot design on the bike?
Well, the first design was done by Futura 2000. He actually laid out the artwork, and then the artwork was submitted to us here at La Carrera, and then a young local artist.
In what form was it? So he laid it out and submitted it in what form? On a piece of paper, a computer design?
On a computer design. We took the design of the frame, and we laid the artwork according to what Futura 2000 wanted. It's based on movement also. So if you look at the dots and you take away the frame, you will still be able to see the frame without the frame not being there. And all the dots are based on design and to create kind of like an embedded image in your mind after the bike leaves. So it's constant movement. It's pretty cool. I've seen other artists do similar things, and we've been seeing so many different people that have duplicated the Futura 2000's artwork onto their frames, they're basically copying for what we did.
Now, for someone who's not familiar with the bike, high-end bike world, can you tell me a little bit about this company, Colnago?
Well, Ernesto Colnago began his company about, I believe now it's 55 years. And it's the winningest constructor in racing history. They're basically the Ferraris of bicycles. Even their forks, the Precisa fork, is a design of Ferrari that was a gift by Enzo Ferrari to Ernesto Colnago when Ferrari purchased their first computers. So he explained to Ernesto Colnago that by having a straight fluted fork, it actually dissipates suspension and vibration going up to the pilot at that time for Formula One cars. And then he implemented that into his forks. The reason the forks are fluted is basically you take energy coming from the road and it dissipates a lot of the energy where the fork starts to get thicker. By the time it gets to the rider, it actually has dampened a lot of the vibration. And that's by using a steel fork. So the design is completely Ferrari of the Colnago Precisa forks. The Ferrari company commissioned all their bicycles. All the Ferrari bicycles are made by Colnago inside of Colnago's home. Just like this Futura 2000 road bike, it's also made in Ernesto's home in the museum.
His home, his actual personal residence?
Yes. The factory is across the street from his house. His whole life has revolved around the 1 kilometer. The races, his whole life, his first win as a professional road racer was in front of his home. So he started his business in the back of his garage with his brother Paulo, and then they continue working until they built the factory about 15 years ago. But most of the most famous Colnagos have always been made in Ernesto Colnago's home. Now that's starting to stop because Ernesto is getting a lot older. They moved the museum from his home across the street to their factory that looks like a modern museum. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Now, also for someone who's not familiar with bike, what makes this construction special? I see, for instance, this has sort of not a perfectly round, typically round bike tubing here. What were they thinking there?
Well, Ernesto Colnago came up with the concept of having to use smaller tubes and using cold-drawn steel without putting any heat and drawing the steel and basically forging them to a clover. It actually, you were able to use a smaller tube with the same strength as a bigger tube. So he's the one that started this whole process of cold-drawn tubes into professional racing frames.
All right, we should get to the point of this discussion is this bike is up for sale. Currently, you said it'll be worth a lot of money at some point. Tell me about the sale and what you're hoping to realize from this.
Well, the main reason why I'm selling it is to continue with some of the projects that I have upcoming in the following years. I can't really go into detail, but this is going to help us be able to fund a lot of the projects that we're trying to make a reality in the upcoming years. These frames, I've learned that right now the market is really low, but it's considered one of the most important art bikes in the last century. That is the reason why this bike is selling for $50,000. For me, personally, I would like this frame to go to a good home, maybe to a museum, just because of the significance. Ernesto Colnago is getting older, so it's almost like the last movement in the production of the winningest frame. to be able to have completed this frame. It's almost like going and asking Enzo Ferrari, can you build me your the most famous car that you have ever made 20 years after he actually produced them? And then, you know, he was like, why do you want that old thing? Because it represented everything that he has done in racing. And, you know, for an artist like Futura 2000 to complement it with his art, I think it's a marriage made in heaven. You know, this an art piece.
And this is a steel bike, not even carbon, which seems to be the rage these days. So why the appeal of a steel-framed bike?
Well, it's also the feel. And you got to remember, steel bikes have a soul, as they say. And this one actually has more of a soul because where it was made, you can understand what I'm talking about when you actually walk into the Colnago factory and then all you see is yellow jerseys, pink jerseys, world championship jerseys. It's a lot of history, you know, and when you realize that and you experience it, then you get an understanding of what a Colnago is, especially a steel Colnago. This bike is also being featured as one of the rarest Colnagos in an upcoming book that is being released by a UK-based publisher that they're doing right now. A collaboration with a lot of the constructors and also collectors to get the rarest Colnagos. And they realize that Ernesto now is getting a lot older, that he's the only person at first hand that can explain the significance of these frames. And I'm fortunate that this particular frame is considered one of the rarest frames in the world.
And that's important to remember, that we're just talking about the frame. There are no wheels, there are no components on this yet. There probably never will be. There are no moving parts, and yet it's selling for the price of a new luxury automobile.
Exactly. And yeah, exactly. But you're buying a piece of art and a piece of history. You know, it's I personally like to be able to see somebody build it up. I have a Gruppo that goes with this frame in 24 karat Italian gold. It was the 35th anniversary of the Colnago company, and Ernesto gave me those Gruppo. So, you know, if you want decadence, we can actually make it as extreme as possible. But you lose value when as soon as you put a component into these frames.
Because a little bit of the paint will get scratched.
Exactly, exactly. So if you're going to use it, I would like to see somebody use it to piss people off, piss people, the collectors, especially the hipsters, that understand what this bike is.
Now, the way you talk about Ernesto Colnago, it sounds like you have a very personal relationship with him. For anyone else, it's like, you know, somebody knowing a rock and roll star or a movie star. None of us do. How do you have this relationship with Mr. Colnago?
I really don't know. I met him in Las Vegas the first time, and I was arguing with his people about selling the new Colnagos made out of China. And they were like, hey, man, don't talk when you don't know anything about how these bikes ride. I'm like, hey, man, I've ridden almost the best of the best. I've sold the best of the best. I don't think your bikes are going to be anything better, especially an entry-level Colnago. So they brought me a entry-level Colnago, which was a CLX, and I took it out for a ride. I came back and I signed the contract to be able to start selling them. I was like so impressed in my head. I'm like, if these guys are selling this type of bike and it's just an entry level bike, I wonder what their high end bikes are, you know? And then that's when I was introduced to Ernesto, and I started telling him that we had a mutual friend. And then he was like, who do you know that I know? And I was like, Luciano Pavarotti. And he was like, how do you know the maestro? And I told him a story. And then he was like, let's build a relationship. I know you're just starting off in the business, and start selling one frame. In the future, you might be selling more frames. 6 months later, I was calling him, ordering 100 frames, and he was like, how did this happen? And I explained to him about the whole project with the look mono brakes, track bikes, and he was like, I'll do it. I think he knew who Futura 2000 was. You know, he knew more about Futura and Stash than I did.
So you put Futura 2000 together with Colnago and put this project together. This is your conception. It's not just a frame that you picked up through a course of relationships and good luck.
No, this was a whole concept that I came up. I know the history behind Ernesto Colnago, and for me, his carbon bikes are not what was his sweat and blood and his tears. I knew that his steel bikes, and especially the development of the master frame, was what represented who he was and what that factory was all about. And then I was going to just do this small production, and then Futura and Stash got in contact with me, and then they were like, Nadir, if we give you the artwork, would you be willing to give us a frame? And I was like, you guys are crazy. You know how much these frames cost? And then I did some research, and I was like, oh my God, I have like two of the greatest artists in graffiti art knocking on my door, and I'm telling them, hey, you got to pay for your own artwork.
Tell me, if you can, a little bit about your personal and professional history. How did you get started in the bike world? The other day I came by and the shop was closed till 4 because you were out apparently helping a friend, a bike courier who was laid up, and you were covering his shift for him. Is that correct? Sounds like you've got some deep roots in the bike world.
Well, I was a bike messenger for 13 years all over the world. It started here in Toronto in the early 90s. I was preparing to go racing in Mexico in La Carrera Panamericana, which is the Pan American road race. It's this vintage road race that starts in Tuxtla Gutierrez and ends up in Laredo, Texas. It's also the race that when Porsche won in 1954, to honor the win, they started naming their cars Carrera. So in 95, I raced in this particular race, and I was so addicted to
competing. This is an automobile race, not a bicycle race.
That's right. My bike shop is named after a car race. Yeah, so that's how I began, and then I started working for 13 years as a messenger to continue car racing. And then in the early 2000, I came back to Toronto, and I was like, I can't do this job no more. You know, there's no guarantee, there's no pay raise, no vacation. There's, you know, if I get hurt, I'm on my own. Nobody's going to take care of me. So I was living in poverty, but it also enabled me to be able to travel all over the world. But when I came back, I decided that I needed to create a part-time job to figure out what I was going to do. And I opened up a small little bike shop in front of Central Tech, and all these people that I had met racing in Europe and throughout the United States were all like, hey, we want to help you. And I was like, sure, guys. And we started getting this relationship, but I didn't know who they were working for. And it turned out to be some of the greatest racing teams in cycling, and also some of the greatest constructors. And it's been a relationship like that. But this bike shop began because of a car race. That's why I named it after this car race. And it's also the struggle of my life the past 18 years. You know, La Carrera doesn't just stand for the car race in Mexico, it stands for the race of my life, you know. And the past week, I've just been covering for a buddy of mine that usually goes mountain biking across the Himalayas. But this time he wanted to go and watch a concert in London. He goes, can you cover for me for a couple of days? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I've been doing a couple of deliveries because it's low right now. It's the winter, you know.
Cycling seems to be on a big uptick. Everyone seems to have dropped their golf clubs, dropped their tennis racket, and are picking up a bike and are out on the roads. How has the business evolved over the last 18 years? And how are you, what are you doing at La Carrera to survive and hopefully flourish?
Well, one of the things to survive is I wouldn't be able to survive without the help of my friends and my family. And I just been doing other little projects. I just ran two events in Mexico this year. The Chilango Alley Cat, it was a project that I did with Red Bull Mexico and Red Bull Nike Mexico. Because of this whole movement in the whole track bike scene, a lot of people think that one of the catalysts in this whole movement, and it kind of has happened because of this whole Look Mono Brakes project. That's one way, and just keep grinding, you know, everything and everything. Try to do one little job here, another job. It's a time of our lives that I think we have to be not centralized in one form of job, but you have to do multiple things to be able to survive.
Because if someone walked in here off the street, La Carrera doesn't look like a typical bike shop where there are dozens and dozens of bikes hanging from the ceilings, all with price tags on them. It looks more like a museum, and it doesn't look like you actually have a lot to sell here. What's the bread and butter? How do you pay your rent, if I'm not being too indiscreet?
No, it's one, it's service. Two, we in the high-end bikes, it's not logical to keep all these bikes in your store that people cannot afford. I also don't like to keep everything out because it doesn't make any sense. It gets damaged. And if you're selling a $10,000-$20,000 bike, the reality is that you got to spend almost 24 hours with each customer to be able to sell them that form of bike. And the high-end market is not a big profit market. For us, we show what we have, one of, not 20 of. And the reality is that you can't keep all this fancy stuff out with all these thieves in Toronto. So you just keep what very little do you have. If somebody's serious and they want to take the time and take you serious, then you can show them the rest of the gold.
So what has the reaction to the sale announcement been? I've seen one other similarly decorated Futura bike, but I think it was a track bike sold by a shop, I guess, in California. It went for $12,000. What kind of reaction have you had to the sale so far?
Well, all the investors and purchasers of all these frames are very happy of that, because I was right about why to invest on one of these frames. Two, it's Futura.
Well, back me up one sec. When you say invest, how many? This is a one-off that we're looking at, but there were other models which were made in a higher series. There was one of the one I saw for sale was one of 38, I believe. So originally, what did an investor who bought one of these, what would they have paid for the completed frame and fork?
Well, for the Futura, we're charging $5,000 plus tax. So normally we sell a Master Pew for around $3,750. So because of the additional artwork and all the documentation of these frames, we were charging $5,000. which I think it was fair. And within 2 years, a lot of people have doubled their money already. So they're happy about that. But some people have built them up just to enjoy them, which makes me very happy. Then there's the $1 million bike, which is Futura's track bike. And it's insured for $1 million because it's his personal bike. But most of the people that bought them were either celebrities, collectors, a couple museums I bought them, and one sheikh from Dubai. Yeah.
That's a reasonable return on investment, $5,000 up to $12,000 or so. And then there's this one. What kind of reaction are you getting to this particular sale, which you've posted at $50,000, best offer? You must be getting some kind of inquiries.
Well, we're in the verge of selling it. Right now, it looks like it's sold. We're just waiting for the check to clear. And it's well over $50,000. So that makes me happy. But because of all these scams online and everything, a lot of people with this kind of money, they don't want to meet you. We just get their companies to work between us. So that's one of the things that we're doing right now. And also, we've had people that offered us $5, $20, $21. And you keep thanking them. At least they're taking the moment to express their feeling about a $50,000 bike. But what they don't realize, this is my life that I'm selling, and it's also 3 years of my life that I think $50,000 it justifies it. I know these bikes are going to be worth five times that price in the next 10 to 15 years. If you're smart, I would have bought it, you know.
And the Colnago company obviously had no trouble with someone like you taking their raw frame and making something completely custom out of it outside of their corporate control or the design or the look they want. They had no problem with that.
No, they actually did all the work. I just basically told them how I wanted it. I was back and forth between Toronto and Milano in 2007 and 2008, making sure that the frames were properly made, that there was the artwork was laid properly. The artisans were coming to Cambiaco, where the Colnago factory is, to make sure that we were happy. I even flew in with Futura 2000 so he can finalize the frame. He had the final say of how the layout of the frame was going to be in. They were both happy. It was really nice for me to be able to fulfill a dream for Lenny, to be able to get his dream bike.
Remarkable. Thank you. Now, if you have 1 second and you're not too cold, I could just step outside and look at something I brought along. Sure. To tell me maybe I'm rich. I don't know. Come okay. On, let's have a look. Given you're a Colnago expert. So I brought one of my beaters along.
It's a nice beater, man.
What is it? Describe it, because I thought it was hysterical when I saw it.
Well, it looks like it's late 70s Colnago. It's pretty nice. I think we need to restore it.
Why would you say that?
Well, it's a beautiful old Colnago, and these things are really sought after.
But I mean, when I looked at it, I thought it looked like some 10-year-old went at it with a can of spray paint in his dad's garage or something. It's been painted a ghastly yellow and black sort of makeover, but so I'm not in the $50,000 range as is. Is that right?
No, I think, let me look at the components.
Oh.
I think with your bike, you're probably just shy of $1,000, which is quite nice. But with all these old Colnagos, you can actually check the serial number and get the original paint. So it can go back to the factory and they can restore it to the original color. You got to remember, every single Colnago is a one of a kind.
Really?
Yes, every single one of them. And depending on who's riding it, you know, knowing you, this bike will be worth $50,000 in the next 10 years.
Well, unfortunately, it's it might be worth $1,000, but it's also my size. So I think the thing is to get it up and running and riding and enjoy it, because that's, I think, isn't that the most important part of something that's a bike that's not like a collector's item, is to get it out on the road and enjoy it?
Exactly. That's the main thing, you know. It's like, these are just material things, you know. For myself, I just ride, and I build these bikes, and it becomes an extension of who you are. Hopefully this person that is buying this bike is going to ride it. And if they ride it, then it basically has fulfilled what I was trying to do. My whole idea was based on the BMW M1 project that was done in the late 80s by, I believe it was 18 renowned artists. And I thought, wow, take a $500,000 car, get the best artists in the world to paint them, and then take them on the track and beat the crap out of them. I thought that was cool, you know, and that's what this whole thing is the whole Look Mono Bikes project has been for people to ride these bikes.
Describe, what is that project? You mentioned it a couple of times, and I've not quite caught it. The Look Mono Bike project, what is that?
Well, this is the whole project that we did with Colnago, Stash, and Futura, which was a collaboration between La Carrera Cycles, Stash and Futura, and Colnago. And the project, we named it Look Mono Brakes because of the track bikes that have no brakes. So, you know, one of the first things you...
The Look part. Look is also a big French bike manufacturer. What's the Look? No relation then.
No relationship. It's almost like the first thing that you would say to your mom when she sees you riding for the first time. It's like, look, mom, I'm riding my bike. Or, look, mom, I'm riding with no hands, you know. And that's basically it. It's just a child's way of thinking. It's nothing about being chic or, you know, futuristic. It's just a very simple project amongst a bunch of people that are young kids at heart. Some are in their 80s, some are in their 50s, and some are in their 40s.
Great stuff. Nadir Olivet, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.